Thank you, Lord, for just this time to gather together, you know, with all that has been going on in all of these families, Lord. And as Kenny just said so well, you know, these times of tragedy, Lord, when it seems darkest is when you can shine the brightest. And Lord, we pray that in each of these families and in each of the circumstances, as well as the situations, Lord, that you would reveal yourself in a way that only you can do. We know, Lord, that Tony, even with his condition, and whether it's Bud or Trish or Courtney or any of the other folks, this family, Lord, we know that, as Kenny said, you are on the throne. And from our side of things, it's hard to understand sometimes. But that's because we don't see from your perspective. And so, Lord, we're going to trust that you're doing what needs to be done, as hard as it may be for us to grasp these things. So we place all of these folks into your hands. And now, Lord, I pray that you'd clear my mind of all of that other stuff, all that clutter and all of the other things that are going on there, and help me get focused on what we're going to talk about tonight as we look once again at Jeremiah, very serious portion of Jeremiah, Lord, because it speaks of judgment, not on the nation of Israel, Lord, but on the nations that surround them. And so as we look at this and remind us, Lord, of your sovereignty, as you told us so long ago through that prophet, exactly what we're watching happen in our times, and may we pay attention to that and be ready for what it is that you're getting ready to do. So, Lord, take this time in what we do, Lord, here, and be honored and glorified in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, so we're going to look now. I shared with you guys, because we're starting the new Wednesday format in June. I want to say it's the 6th. Am I correct on that? I think it's the first one is June 6th, is the Wednesday. I had to try to draw a conclusion to Jeremiah because there was no way to finish the chapters. So for those of you that weren't here last week, we're sort of taking the high points, I guess, of the remaining chapters of Jeremiah and bringing them all together. Last week, we talked about the new covenant. They're in chapter 31 and the covenants that all led up to that, the whole concept of God's covenant and promises with his people, whether it's Israel or humanity as a whole, that some of those covenants, in particular for the people of Israel, were conditional. In other words, God will fulfill his role if they fulfill theirs. But then there are those unconditional covenants. And the first, I think, that and the others really flow out from that. In other words, they're promises that God made that he will fulfill regardless of whether we do our side or not. Because these are covenants that are based on who he is, his character, his integrity, his sovereignty, you know, and all of the things that God is. That's why we can trust those. Now, we highlighted last week, we specifically looked at the new covenant, but why that was so important and as a fulfillment of all of the covenants leading up to that. Now, I've said many times in the past that this all really began, what we're seeing today on the news, with the covenant that God made with Abraham. You can find it in Genesis chapter 12, 15, 17, but in particular chapter 22, because it's dealing with the seed of the woman that was promised way back and tied into the Edenic covenant back in the Garden of Eden for the promise of the seed of the woman, which of course was pointing to Christ. So the Abrahamic covenant really initiates this whole thing. Now remember, in the Abrahamic covenant, and don't worry if you don't have all of this, but remember there are four parts of that. I will bless you, God says to Abraham, and I will make your name great. So there's a personal blessing. And this land, I'm going to give you this land. So there's a personal, there's a geographical blessing. And then to your descendants, I will give this land, and so on and so forth. And so then it becomes a national, and that's obviously the nation of Israel, or the Jewish people, in other words, the descendants, direct blood descendants of Abraham, that is. And then through those things that all of the nations of the world would be blessed. And remember, nations means people groups. It doesn't mean nations, because we're going to talk about this. God is not interested in lines on a map. You have to remember that. I've said that a million times, but I need to keep saying it. God doesn't care one bit about how man has drawn up the map and determined what nations are supposed to be where. He's not. So when God says that all of the nations of the earth, he's talking about all those, in other words, who were not of Abraham, in other words, not Jews, how they're going to be blessed. And of course, ultimately, that's through the promised seed, the seed of the woman back there in Genesis, which is, of course, Messiah. So you have the personal blessing in that of the name of Abraham. You have the geographical, the land of Israel. You have the national with the nation of Israel, or the Jews, the Hebrews. And then you have a universal blessing, which includes you and I, which is why we're sitting here having this discussion today, some, you know, almost 4,000 years after God spoke those words to Abraham. So now the reason that's significant, the reason I'm pointing this out is because, remember, when God made that promise to Abraham, God alone guaranteed its fulfillment. Okay? Because remember, a contract in those days, just like today, was made between two individuals, and each had their part to do to make sure that that contract was not broken. Now, for an example, God gives his covenant of law, what we call the Mosaic covenant, the Ten Commandments and all that went along with that. He gives that to the nation of Israel, and they entered into this, but there's a lot of ifs. And if you will do this, then I will be your God and you will be my people. And if you do this, you know, I will keep you in the land throughout time. But if you don't, I will remove you from the land and bring you back when I get your attention, for lack of a better phrase, okay? So that was conditional. They broke the law, they rejected the Messiah, and that's why they're in the condition they are. But the Abrahamic covenant now was unconditional. Remember, God entered into that covenant while Abraham watched. God anesthetized him, so to speak, and wouldn't let Abraham enter. Therefore, that fulfillment of that covenant is on God and God alone. Now, the reason that's significant is because it's not necessarily about the personal or the universal, but the national and geographical aspects. In other words, the nation of Israel and the land of Israel. And since that covenant, throughout history, the enemy, Lucifer himself, has tried to stop that covenant. And so world history tells us that empire after empire and nation after nation and leader, emperor after emperor, tried to get Israel out of the land. And they technically succeeded with the Romans in 70 AD. But God had promised that even though he would punish them and remove them from the land, he would restore them to that land. That promise, again, was unconditional, so therefore it's guaranteed on the character of God. So when we looked at Jeremiah last week, we were talking about the new covenant, which is also unconditional. And where the Lord says, and how long is this covenant going to last? Well, if the stars falls from the sky, or if those stars no longer shine and the sun and the moon don't shine, then the covenant is no longer any good. So in other words, it's an eternal covenant. Okay? Stars will fall, but they will continue to shine until God brings in the new creation. So the guarantee of that promise to Abraham, and then fully validated in the new covenant, is why we're watching what we're watching happen in the Middle East. It's always about Israel, always, 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 because it's always, 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 always about the covenant. And the sooner we understand that, the better off we're going to be. Then everything you're seeing and hearing and watching will become, it'll make total sense to you. If you don't get this, you'll be confused. So what I've done is, what I wanted to do is look at Jeremiah chapter 46 and 51 and look at God's judgment on those nations, okay, that have throughout history, that have tried to get rid of the Jews, to get them out of Jerusalem, and to get control of the land of Israel. Now, many of the nations we're going to see here, I'm going to show you the chapter where the verses where you can find them as we go through this. But notice that these are all nations that God has already put out his warning to. He's put out his warning that, listen, I'm telling you, if you don't treat my people Israel, then this is what's going to happen. Remember the other part of the Abrahamic covenant? I will bless them that bless you, and make no mistake about it, I will curse those that curse you. What do we see in the world today? All of the nations who have opposed Israel are what we recognize today as third world. Coincident? Probably not. Okay? There's a reason for that. These people live in this poverty and all of that stuff that we talk about so often because they have cursed Israel. And they're suffering the consequences, and sadly will continue to do so until the king comes again. Amen. So in Jeremiah 46, God begins to give Jeremiah the prophecy. In other words, he's telling Jeremiah what he's going to do and how he's going to deal with those nations. So I want to take them one at a time, and then we've got a couple things to follow up on here before we reach our conclusion. So in chapter 46, verses 1 to 26, God says in our English Bibles, if you look at those verses, it's going to be God's judgment on Egypt. Now, you and I know as Egypt, and sometimes we see Egypt in the Scripture. But whenever you come across the name Mitzrayim, that's speaking of Egypt, okay? Because remember, from God's point of view, he's not worried about the nation of Egypt. He's worrying about the descendants of Mitzrayim. And Mitzrayim was a son or grandson, actually, of Ham, who settled in North Africa after the flood. So, and he became what we know today as the people of Egypt. The Egyptians are from Mitzrayim, okay? So there's something really significant about this, because immediately we're seeing that judgment is coming on Egypt. Now, in Jeremiah's day, Egypt had been overcome by Assyria, and then at the point Jeremiah is writing, they had also been overcome by Babylon, but they hadn't become desolate and haven't throughout history the way that they are described in the portion of this passage. So we know that there's a judgment yet coming on Mitzrayim. Okay? Does that make sense? Now, lo and behold, and I want to tie in some modern names or titles of people that are totally opposed to Israel, and Israel in particular being in the land. And I want to show you those titles and where they fall into what we know today as these nations, but as the descendants of Mitzrayim. We would know those folks as called the Muslim Brotherhood. Imagine that. Kind of changes things a little bit, doesn't it? Because not all Egyptians are opposed to Israel. You have to understand, each of these nations we're talking about, God has a remnant there. You and I have millions, and I mean millions, of brothers and sisters in the Lord Jesus Christ that live and are descendants of Mitzrayim. Make no mistake about it. Okay? Alexander, back in the days right after Jesus, became a hotbed for Christianity. Okay? There was great things that went on in Alexandria. And then it just went on, and Christianity spread there just like it did everywhere else. The group that we most hear about now today, though, are the Coptics. That's the people that are in Egypt. Now, they do things a little different than you and I. But make no mistake, they are God's people. That's just the way it is. So God has his people in there, and that's why the Muslim Brotherhood and those opposed to the covenant of Abraham, and therefore ultimately Christians, those that would follow Christ, Jew or Gentile or anything other, by the way, that's why they're so opposed to this. And that's why our brothers and sisters, the Coptics in Egypt right today, are being slaughtered and tortured for their faith while you and I sit here in an air-conditioned building. Yeah, we need to make sure that we understand that. So that's the first judgment. The second one is in chapter 47. It's seven short verses, and it's on the nation that they knew as Philistia. We know them as the Palestinians. Okay? These people were brutal. They were constantly opposed to the people of God. Remember David with Goliath? Goliath was a Philistine. Okay? So he would have been a Palestinian, albeit he had some genetic things going on there. That's for another day and another time. But that was the opposition to what God was doing. Oh man, I could bring in some more, but I'm not going to do it. The Palestinians. So why is the Palestinians? I think I shared a little bit last week when we were looking at the covenants. Why is it called Palestine even to our day? Because about roughly 200 AD, Hadrian becomes emperor of the Roman Empire. He literally hated the Jews. And because there had been a revolt at about, I want to say it's about 130, somewhere in there, AD, there was a revolt that rose, led by a fellow by the name of Bar Kokhba. It was called the Bar Kokhba Revolt. Okay, and because of that, and trying to get Rome out, he brought the hammer down so hard on them and just slaughtered thousands and thousands of them. And to do away with the trying to erase the memory of the Israelites in the land of Israel, he then titled the land after the Philistines because he knew it would tick off the Jews. And that's why it's still called Palestine, or was called Palestine to this day. That all happened for those reasons. But it doesn't matter because you and I know it as Israel. Okay? And the Palestinians, it's not their homeland, no matter what they tell you on TV. Those people are wrong, and they have their facts wrong, and they do not know their history. Okay? The Palestinians were not of that land. It's just that simple. There's no other way to put it. It's interesting. I've shared with you guys before. I watched a thing one time. This has been a few years ago now, and they had these Jewish young people and these Palestinian young people, and they had them in front of the Wailing Wall. So as the camera was shining on, there was a lady from CNN, I can't remember what her name was, and she was interviewing the both, trying to get an understanding of this. And of course, as you would suspect, they're arguing about whose land this belongs to. Us as Palestinians, no, it's the Jewish land and stuff like that. And I'm yelling at the TV, turn around. What's behind them? The Wailing Wall. Who belongs to the Wailing Wall? Israel. The Wailing Wall was built on the same foundation that Solomon built the temple, and Zerubbabel later after the Babylonian destruction of the temple. Turn around. There's like 5,000 years of history right behind you, folks. Why doesn't someone call attention to this? That's whose land it is. Look at the wall. That'll tell you. And all of the archaeology that's going on under this thing as we dig up all of this stuff that points back all the way to the days of Solomon. Who owns the land? The Jews. Imagine that. Because God told Abraham it would. It's as simple as that. So, a modern day name, besides, obviously we know them as the Palestinians, but the group that's really hostile to the covenants there are called Hamas. Yeah, those are the ones that are totally opposed. Now, like I said with Egypt, you and I have many Palestinian brothers and sisters, and we should pray for them as well, because their faith will cost them their lives as well. The next two, Moab is the judgment on Moab, and that we know today as the nation of Jordan. And then there's another one that's called Ammon, and we also know that as Jordan. As a matter of fact, that name Ammon has carried on to us even today. We know it as the city of Ammon, Jordan. It's the same thing. It's the same place, same area. So that's how we know that's there. Well, what are some of the modern equivalents of those people today? Well, we know them as Hezbollah. Starting to get the picture here. Starting to make some sense, isn't it? All of these on the right, because there are brothers and sisters in each one of those areas that we know, that middle column there, the Egypt, and well, I'm sorry about that, but the Jordan and the Palestinians, we have lots and lots and lots of brothers and sisters there. So we're not in any way talking about the people as a whole or their descendancy, but we're talking about those that are hostile to the covenant, because that is the key. And then in chapter 49, in verses you can see there, 23 to 27, the Damascus. Now, Damascus was, of course, it still is to this day. Damascus is the oldest continuously occupied city in world history. And, of course, it is still to this day in Syria. Bob's family is from Syria. So Bob is a Syrian. No, I'm just kidding. So, but again, same point. The same point needs to be made. These people, there are many, obviously, that are brothers and sisters. So don't forget that, okay? We know what's going on there today, and this is going to be the next hotbed. And I've said before, and I'm telling you again, watch Syria, because something huge is fixing to happen there. And it's going to initiate a snowball that is going to be unbelievable. I'm telling you. I'm not going to say it's going to happen in the next few months. So that would not surprise me, but just wait. I'm telling you, watch them and keep an eye on Turkey as well. So Damascus, Syria. And then the next one there in 49 is the descendants, and they're called there Elam. The Elamites, the descendants of Elam, became what we know today as the Persians or the Iranians. Okay, that's who those folks are. Now, what's interesting about this portion, and that's why I've got it starred there, is that Elam is not going to be in this next destruction that we're going to talk about. There's yet to come. In fact, the one that's yet to come, you and I are about to witness, okay? Because it will be destroyed. It's just a matter of time. Okay, and that's why there's that one solid reference there in 49 verse 39, where God says, but I will bring Elam back until the last days. And that's precisely what happened in world history. And that's why you see them today. Okay, the others have kind of lost their power, their authority. But this one is on the rise, at least temporarily. And then the last one, of course, is in the last couple of chapters. They're just before the people and the actual destruction. Chapter 50, from verse 1 all the way through chapter 51, this is talking about the Babylon there, that God now has used them to discipline his people, but the leadership of Babylon, the rulers of Babylon, went too far, and they became arrogant, and they did beyond what God had asked them to do, and so God will bring judgment on them. Now again, Babylon, as you read it in Jeremiah, in this passage is here, you will notice that they were desecrated. The Assyrians came in, the Persians came in after them and overcame their land, but they really didn't destroy them. And yet the passage is very clear that there's coming a day when what we know today, border-wise, and remember this all extends but we would recognize it as Iraq, that it is going to be so desolate that there's not even wild animals that are going to live there. What does that tell you? Now, why is that significant? Because Babylon plays a huge part in the 70th week of Daniel, okay? Because it's going to become the new headquarters for this new one-world government that our government seems to be pushing forward. It's going to be the headquarters. It's going to be in Babylon. Make no mistake about it. And they've already got it in the works. If you're paying attention to the news, they're saying, well, where are we going to put this one world government? And it's like, oh, I know. Oh, well, pick me. Where are we going to put it? Well, let's put it in Babylon. Gee, what a shocker. It's like, don't these people read the scripture? I don't understand. Everybody's shocked by this. Why are we shocked? Of course, you guys heard about the thing now our president and them, he's about ready to sign a treaty with the UN that's going to open up the international waters, and we're going to have to abide by in waters even in coming into our own land by the United Nations, that highly effective and efficient group of nations. And there's also going to be signed an agreement which can't be revoked by our government, that they're going to set international law on how we do things in America. This is happening, folks. Pay attention. It's happening. In fact, he votes on it and signs the thing next month. That's how close it is. So go to dickmorris.com if you want to see all the stuff on this. It's interesting. Imagine that. And everybody's up in arms. Oh, what are we going to do? What are we going to do? We're not going to do anything. We're going to trust God's word. He told us this was going to happen. Why are we so shocked? Of course we're going to become part of the one world system. Of course. How do you become part of the one world system when you're the world superpower? You ruin it economically. You ruin it militarily. You ruin it socially. Gee, imagine that. You ruin it spiritually. One world religion, and of course you guys have been hearing all the stuff, I hope you have anyways, about the one world religion now, the ecumenical councils of the world. Stuff, and they're all getting together and they're trying to decide, you know, how they're going to do this and stuff. And, we can't do this without, it's nice to talk about a one world government, a one world economy, and a one world religious system. But we can't do that without a one world leader. Oh, would that be that fellow that you and I know as Antichrist? Could be. Yeah, of course. Of course, we're watching this stuff. That's why I'm doing this. It's amazing to me, absolutely amazing. Yes, ma'am, sorry. It's Edom, Moab, and Ammon. Yeah. Yeah, so it's basically what would be north, central, and southern Jordan. Yeah. It used to be called Transjordan, which, of course, after the Balfour Declaration, was supposed to be where the Palestinians were supposed to have their homeland, but, of course, they didn't want it. So, which has created the problems that we know today and gave rise to this thing called the PLO, which of course now has a bad name, so they don't use it anymore. You get the idea, right? I mean, gee, what a shocker. So anyway, now what I want you to see is notice that those two nations at the bottom here, okay? No, well, I want to... Yeah, those two nations at the bottom here, okay, are not going to be involved in this next thing that we're going to be talking about. So just keep that in mind. I'll point that out as we go. Whoops, what happened here? Whoa, I'm on the wrong things. That's what happens when you don't have your arrow on the right arrow. Now this, and I don't want to spend a lot of time here, it's for another time, but this is the Ezekiel 38 battle, okay? The Confederacy with Russia. And if you don't think this is fixing to happen, then you better start paying attention. There's a reason Vladimir Putin's back in control, folks. It didn't just happen by accident. And that's what's going to happen. And you can see this is a confederacy of all of those nations. You can find those weird named people in Ezekiel's. Because remember, these are all descendants of the sons of Noah. Okay, notice they're not lines on the map. Okay, we can find them on lines on the map, but they're descendants. All of these folks up here, including Persia, these are all sons of Japheth. Because remember, Japheth is the one that got off the ark over here in Mount Ararat and went over here, and Japheth settled in the Caucasus Mountains. Remember, okay, the Japhethites. Japheth, one of the sons of Noah. He settled in here. Whoops, come back here. He settled in this, so you can't really see it, but that's the Caucasus Mountains. And then they went from there on up into Russia, north up into Russia, and scattered, and became what we know today as the Europeans. Which again, I've said 50 times, that's why you and I are called Caucasian, because we're descendants of that individual. Okay? All of these people. Yes, so are the Turks, and so are the Persians. Ooh. Do you ever wonder why Persia, Iran, speaks a different language than everybody else in that region of the world? They speak Farsi, folks. They don't speak Arabic, nor Hebrew. It was because they're not. They're of Japheth. So we could go on and on that, but again, I don't want to spend too much time. But these are the nations that get together, okay? The other son, as I already said, that came from here was Ham. He came down south and he settled in North Africa and became, and his descendants, or he settled in North Africa and then his descendants, one of them you can see there is Put, one of them was Cush, one of them was Mitzrayim, and those guys became the nations that we recognize today as Libya, Somalia, Sudan, and it's sort of the Ethiopia that we know, but not entirely, but anyway. So notice what's happening here. You have the sons of Japheth and you have the sons of Ham engaged in this battle on Israel, according to Ezekiel 38. Okay? These guys have all, throughout history, except for the Europeans that are in the UK, Australia, and that ultimately settled in America, that'd be you and I, all those others have cursed the covenant people of God. It's as simple as that. And look at their nations and look at those that haven't. All those nations I just named. US, UK, Australia, Canada, all those people. So we are from Japheth because he settled in the Caucasus, so we're Caucasian. If you're African, of African, then you're of Ham. Now, there's only one person in the room tonight who is a descendant of Shem, who became, we call him the Sem, or the Semitic peoples. Does anybody know who that is? Mr. Bob, because he's Syrian. He's a Semitic person. Oh, but I thought the Syrians were anti-Semitic. Well, they are, if politically speaking. But, anthropologically speaking, they're all related. Bob is a descendant of Shem. So, because his descendants was a fellow by the name of Aram, not Elam. Elam became Persia. And then Iran, his descendants were Aram, the Aramites, okay? And they became the ones that gave the Aramaic language, which is what Jesus spoke when he came to this earth, besides for the Greek. That was the language that he spoke, okay? That's because of Bob's descendants. It was them that did it. I'm not going to get through any more of this. We'll finish this up the next time. So watch him. Make sure he keeps his hands out of his pockets at all time in your presence. No, I'm just kidding. I don't think we have anything to fear from Bob, I think. So, some of the events that have to lead up to this. Now, what's going to bring all of this about? All of this stuff we're talking about, because there's another part to this. I'm not going to get to it tonight. In Ezekiel 36, Ezekiel is the key for what you and I are watching happen before us. Forget Daniel's 70th week for now. That's down the road. But the first things that has to happen. Number one, Ezekiel chapter 36 speaks of Israel, the nation of Israel, being restored to the land. that they would return to the land. God would bring them back into the land when the land was desolate and no one else would want it, except, of course, the Palestinians. But no one wanted it, okay? But God would bring them back. That's what Ezekiel chapter 38 is all about. Well, folks, you and I know what happened in 1948. Just that very thing. They got back in 1948, and if you've been to Israel or seen pictures of Israel or know anything about Israel, it's no longer desolate. Because chapter 36 said God, when he brought the people back, it would blossom like the rose. And that's precisely what has happened. In the midst of a massive third world culture, there is Israel. And it is not third world. It's not. If you've ever been there, you know what I'm talking about. But there was something else. It's not about the, because remember, the land was just part of the Abrahamic covenant. Remember the geographical stuff. There was also the specific area in chapter 37. They must regain the city of Jerusalem. But the only way they could do that was for the 12 tribes to be brought together. That is given for us in the picture of the Valley of the Dry Bones. Because the people are back in the land of Israel, but they have no life in them because they've been slaughtered by the nations. So they're bones. But God says to Ezekiel, speak to them and they shall live. So as a prophet of God, he speaks. And we know the bones start coming together. You know, them bones and bones and dry bones. And then the leg bone connected to the... You get the idea, right? That's where those things came from. Didn't know that, did you? But that is. That's where they came from. So the bones would connect together. And then the ligaments and the joints and all of the stuff, marrow. And then there's this body. God restores not only the land of Israel, but the people of Israel in the city of God's choosing, Jerusalem. That didn't happen until 1967. So that tells us when the last days began. And Jesus said, the generation that sees this, these things right here, when we get to Luke chapter 21 on Sunday mornings, I'm going to show you all this. Jesus said, the generation that sees this, we'll see all of these other things come to pass. We've seen it, folks. So times are rolling on. And then, of course, in 38, then Psalm 83 jumps in. And actually, I should have stopped at that last one until next time. But Psalm 83, those same nations we just looked at in Jeremiah, I've showed you this before. If you haven't read Psalm 83, you need to. Because now you know the names of those nations and stuff. But those nations will, notice Israel is in the land. Israel has regained Jerusalem. The third thing that happens according to biblical prophecy is the nations bordering, all those nations we just named that are immediately bordering Israel will attack Israel, but they'll be defeated. That's what Psalm 83 is about. There's no date because it hasn't happened yet, but it's very, very close. After that, the next event will be Ezekiel 38 and 39. So we're seeing the prelude to this right now. It's happening right now. And it isn't getting better because it's not going to get better. The more time goes on, the more Israel is hated, including America itself. And look out when America turns its back on the nation of Israel. Now, I've said before, and I will say it again, America is not a Christian nation. It was, but we are not. However, we are a nation of Christians. Okay? Big difference, but very important to God. So don't forget that. Ezekiel 38 and 39. And then the last thing in Ezekiel 37, I don't know why that's out of line. Oh, because this jumps ahead, that God is going to use that invasion of those nations we just looked at from the sons of Japheth and Mitzrayim, and they're going to all march on Israel. Ezekiel 38, led by Russia and Iran. That's what's going to happen. When that happens, God is going to bring not all of his people now. He's got most of them back in there, but they're still all over the world. We know that. And Israel is preparing for that, which is why they're building all of those neighborhoods, which are, of course, creating even more problems. So the reason this stuff is happening is because of Israel. It's always about Israel. Always has been, and it always will be. And people are either going to get over it or they're not. It's as simple as that. It isn't going to change a thing. God made a covenant and he keeps his word. It's what we're watching happen. We're the generation that has seen this. All those others that thought they weren't. And these are the reasons why they weren't. See? So we're seeing all of this. And when God does this and brings these nations on, all of the rest of the Jews of the world are going to go, my goodness, God himself is fighting for Israel. Because you know how those nations are defeated? Do you think, as tough as Israel is, and make no mistake, they are tough. Do you think they can handle Russia and Iran and Turkey and Georgia, Azerbaijan, Libya, Sudan, Somalia? Of course they couldn't handle that. That's way too much. So that's why God said, and I will destroy them. I, me. And don't buy into this nonsense about sixth. That's a bogus translation. God is going to wipe them off the map. That's how they become desolate. Okay? So he's going to take care of them. And what do all those nations have in common? Anti-Semitism throughout their histories. Amen. So we've got to stop there. There's a lot more to go, and I don't know why I always think I can get through all of these things when I know dang good and well I can't. But anyways, there you have it. So, all right. So we're finishing up our study on Jeremiah, and I just thought this was a really good point, and especially since I've been reading and listening and hearing all this junk that's going on, and I just thought, you know what? Let's do this as we finish off Jeremiah for the rest of the month. So now you got it laid out, right? Everybody's got this all figured out. it gets really confusing, but when you see it, and the more I know you guys said, man, he said this so many times. Exactly. And the reason I say this is because people don't get it. I forever get you guys calling me just going, dude, I just don't understand. So that's why I keep saying the same stuff over and over again, because that's how I learned it. I'm like talking to that thing. So just, I got to keep pounding, and then I just go, click all of a sudden, I go, oh, so I just start lining things up. So that's what I'm doing with all this, okay? But some interesting things happening. Pay attention. These are snippets, by the way, of a study that I did that most of you are familiar with that were here at the time that I did that was called Prelude to a Coming Attraction. And it's a lot longer than this. We've already gone through most of this, I know that, except that Jeremiah slide, I added that to it. But again, we're going to go over this and over this and over this. I'm closing. Stop pointing. My wife's out there going. She notice she does that from the back so no one can see her? Except me, of course. All right, let's close in prayer before I get in big, huge amounts of trouble. Father, thank you, Lord, for tonight. And Lord, this stuff is it gets a bit crazy and confusing. But the cool thing about it is, Lord, it's all happening according to your plan. And it doesn't matter what any of us think or anyone else, any nation, any emperor, any whatever. Your plan is your plan, and you are sovereign, and therefore it will come to pass according to your purpose. And Lord, in that we can rest. Thank you, Lord, for showing us and giving us the ability to pay attention and to stay alert and to watch these things and to not be caught off guard. Lord, before we close, I want to bring all of those folks up before you again that are in the hospitals and even the family, Lord, that has lost a child, and just want to continue to pray for them. So, Lord, thank you for being here with us tonight. Thank you for your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right. God bless you guys.